the candlelight caught the tears streaming down her face as she clutched her grandfather's weathered hands. "Please," she whispered, her voice breaking. "We are your family. You once told me I would always be your precious little girl."
"You dare speak of family?" His voice boomed through the chamber's stone walls. "Your father rejected the one true God, and you..."
He withdrew his hands as if her touch burned. "You filled your mind with false gods and idols, child. Your sins demand cleansing." This is The Quest for Power.
Welcome to The Quest for Power, where we are not rating and reviewing European monarchs. Instead, we completely shifted gears, threw it in reverse, and then forwarded back into sixth gear, threw out all historical accuracy out the window, and are now rating and reviewing the interesting characters of the Irish sagas, Anglo-Celtic lore, Arthurian legends, Anglo-Saxon chronicles, and Norse sagas, all because one man wanted to hear about Cuchulainn.
I don't know who that was, and I feel like you're pointing the finger at me, but I think we can blame the Emperor.
I was going to say, and as always, I am your ever so unreliable narrator, and I am just the helpless narrator. I just go with where the winds of the Chaos Goblin take me, who wanted to hear about Cuchulainn. Speaking of which...
This is the Chaos Goblin himself, your wonderful audience slash editor, Roberto.
Yeah, and who inadvertently changed the entire podcast just because he's like, you know what? Cuchulainn sounds like a really cool guy. And then, that just reformatted the entire thing. So here we are.
I mean, I should have known better when Michael's like, oh, we got to skip that. But then it's going to cause more issues. And I'm like, Michael, just do Cuchulainn. It's going to be fine. And he goes, all right, give me a month. I will just reformat the whole show. It'll be great. We have new rankings. We have new everything. It'll be great.
So, today, the past three Irish episodes are all bonus episodes. And today is actually the beginning of season six. And we're going to go before those episodes into the Irish mythological cycle. So as a result of this shift, this narrative style is going to be a massive whiplash from seasons one through five, and is really different from any self-respecting history podcast. Because we're talking about legends, I am going to go off script because it's fun that way. And that's what we're here for. We're not an academic podcast, in case you haven't figured that out yet.
There's a script? I thought this was all off the cuff. These are actual stories you're telling me?
I mean,
not
I
your
think
DM stuff?
No, it's not my... I have never DM stuff. That'd be interesting. All right. The history, myths, and legends of the British Isles and Scandinavia are a tangled web full of contradictions by their very nature of the stories being told over and over and over again over the course of thousands of years before some Christians decide to write it down with their own spin. So as a result, we have a lot of artistic license because they had a lot of artistic license with these stories. We don't have a Gregory of Tours, Procopius, or even the dubious Historia Augusta. There's no Bible, so to speak, that we can go off of. It's a collection of stories and fragments that I find all over the Celtic literature sites. These stories were not meant to be put together, but we are going to put them together because, well, it's more fun that way.
I guess. I'm just here for the ride, buddy. So
I know you are.
You do your thing. I will just rank and listen and make jokes all the time. It'll be great.
Yeah.
I have to fix my spreadsheet now because you've done this to me.
You did this to you. But I think the categories stay the same if I'm correct.
The audacity. The audacity that I did this to myself? No, you're wrong.
Yeah. So like, and to top it all off, like the way these stories are written, and you probably know this, rewritten, is like they're parts scraped literally off because evil paganism, and so that way it's got the nice little Christian twist to everything. And so we have fragments within fragments that are told all over the place. So as a result, we're going to tell the core narrative. I'm not going to make that up. I'm not going to make up the legends, the history interconnected, but we're going to tell it in this massive interconnected epic fantasy-like world of its own canon events than a complete faithful. It's going to be more of a retelling. Think of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is what I would describe it as, except for a lot more plot holes because history does that. Because we are mixing history, legends, and myth all together. Which is how they saw history for the longest time, especially of Ireland.
Just to say, the Marvel Cinematic Universe also has a bunch of plot holes, so I don't know what you're on about.
That's true. I don't know. Let's see which one has more. We begin our adventure of the Irish mythological cycle not in the Emerald Isle, but somewhere far away in the Eastern Mediterranean region, if you haven't quite guessed from the cold open. The girl in the cold open was a woman by the name of Cessair, daughter of Bith. And if you haven't guessed yet, her stern grandfather, who was with the fire and brimstone and condemning his own kin to death, was Noah. The Noah.
Oh, Noah. Noah.
Hmm. Something.
I don't know a guy. Oh, no.
Don't know. You don't know a guy about a shipbuilding?
It's two of every animal on board or something like that.
Some weird like that.
You know, they have Noah's Ark in Tennessee.
I did not know that. I mean, they have Noah's Ark in Wisconsin, too. It's this massive, it's the world's largest water park.
I'm sorry. Podcast correction. It's in Kentucky.
No, Noah's Ark, is it like an actual like ship that they built, or is it the Venture Water Park that we have in the Dells?
Nope, it's the ship that they built.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so you can, if you want to see Noah's Ark, you can do so.
There you go.
I don't think it's a real one, but it's whatever.
Maybe, who knows? And instead of letting an angry foreign god kill her without a fight, Cessair consulted the gods of her father through an idol. And when she was consulting the idol, she heard deep in her mind, "Make for the Emerald Isle, where flood has never been and never shall be."
This is just Wizard of Oz.
I was going to say, I don't know if she was taking a lot of mushrooms while looking at the idol, but, you know,
I'd love
teach
mushrooms.
Their own.
Put them in some oyster sauce. Ooh.
Not a fan of mushrooms. I actually hate mushrooms. Can't stand them.
I'll eat yours.
All right, go for it.
Hell yeah.
Cessair then got to work and oversaw the creation of three large ships and to take those who would defy fate with her. We don't know the makeup of the entire fleet. We do know that her individual ship was 50 women and 3 men. The 3 men were Bith, who was her father, Ladra, the navigator, and Fintan, the druid.
I like Fintan already. Is he showing up a lot more?
If I rewrite certain things later down the road, yes.
No. Don't do this to yourself.
We'll explain to him later. You must have heard him before.
No.
Oh no! Fascinating.
You said druid. I was here for it. It's the Irish. Oh,
gotcha. During the trip, at some point in the night, a massive storm enveloped the fleet. Two of the other ships were thrown by the ocean into each other. Screams rang out, and then silence as they sank to the depths of the violent seas. That's awesome. You gotta make like some drowning effect when you're editing. With the like the crash of like thunder.
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, Galileo. Galileo Figaro.
He hasn't been born yet.
Manico Pico.
And eventually they reach Ireland. And when they did, there was this issue of some sort of societal structure for their fledgling civilization. There were 50 women and 3 men. So you can see where this is going. Cesaire commanded that the women divided thus. 17 women were allotted to Fintan Mac Bocra, including Cesaire herself. 17 women were assigned to her father Bith, and 16 women were given to Ladra. And we are told that Ladra whined about receiving one less woman.
I can barely handle one.
I only got 16. I needed 17. And he had this insane chip on his shoulder when it came to demonstrating his sexual prowess, because he was only given 16 and not 17.
Oh my god.
And
dude, my dude, calm the fuck down. You're getting more women than most men get in a lifetime. I know a bunch of guys who wear a bunch of fedoras and neckbeards that have none.
We are told that his member grew overworked from the demands of his 16 women, and while he and one of his consorts were in the throes of ecstasy, his dick exploded and died pretty quickly from excessive blood loss.
What? What? Oh, God!
I've been so excited to tell this story and just for that reaction.
You know what? You know what? I think he took the Tyrion quote where he's like, I want to die in my own bed at the age of 80 with a belly full of wine and a girl's mouth around my cock.
Yep, he did. He took that a little too literally.
You know what? It was, he had an explosive orgasm.
That he did. That he definitely did.
She blew his head off.
She blew his mind.
No, just his head.
Just his head.
Oh, God. This episode's already going to be NSFW, even more so than usual.
I was going to say, there's a reason we're explicit, and I knew that right away from the way this one was going. What a great way for him to go out, but what a horrific trauma for her. Could you imagine?
No, I don't think it's a great way to have your dick blow up and then you die from blood loss. Michael, unless it was instant, I don't want to deal with like the fact that, oh my god, my penis is gone. What the fuck? Oh my god, it's bleeding everywhere. How do you stop it? I'm a fucking eunuch. See, if I had 17, this wouldn't have happened.
I just love that they had to add that he whined about receiving one less woman, knowing about what happens like right after.
See, this is what happens when you complain. They blow your dick off. Don't complain. You were blessed by the god, and then you complained, and you lost your favorite part of your body.
So that didn't go well.
You think? You so, think?
Now there were two men, and
they all 25 and 25.
I was going to say, in Slatra's 16 women were divided equally between Bith and Fintan, each given 25. And that didn't last long either, because Bith died shortly after from unknown causes.
Probably his dick also exploding from too much sex.
I would think that they would include that, but that was not included anywhere. In fact,
if it happened once already, though, like...
Yeah, this sources specifically say, like, they did not say anything remotely close to that. So I thought that was fascinating.
I know how he died.
How'd he die?
He died from cardiac arrest. You know, 17 was just the perfect number. Then they gave him 8 more, and his poor old heart couldn't take it.
It just couldn't take it anymore. That's fair. That's fair.
Did any of these people have kids with the Bith and the other dude, dick exploding?
Oh, we're about to find out.
The Master Exploder, because that means, you know, Cesaire's going to have a bunch of siblings.
Yeah, so, yeah. So now Fintan has the sole responsibility to repopulate the island and satisfying 50 women by himself.
You know, I'd feel bad for him. But also, he's a druid, so, like, he kind of gets away with everything he wants already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all going on, and he has that problem to deal with. 40 days after, see the 40? Wonder where this comes from. After they landed in Ireland, the skies darkened, and soon the island was attacked by raging severe thunderstorms. The seas turned angry, and Bitan began attacking the land, flooding the little dwellings where Cesaire's people created. She and her women went to the highest peak of the region, but it wasn't enough. Water engulfed them, and they all drowned in horrific death, with the rest of the world besides the asshole who didn't offer them shelter. And, oh, the DM didn't want a TPKA right off the bat. I mean, we just started this campaign. And because dead men tell no tales, Fintan was gifted to be druid level 2 and he wild-shaped into a salmon to survive, becoming literally living memory of this period. And that's the end of the trials and struggles of Cessaire, daughter of Bith. Are you ready to raid her?
Wasn't she told if she went to the Emerald Isle, she wouldn't be flooded?
It's almost like she was told by a false god, or that the monks wanted us to think that. It's almost like this story was just inserted randomly to tie Ireland back to the Bible for some reason.
Okay, so like this is a thing.
Someone you know, needed that to happen.
So like this is a thing, honestly, in like most chronicles too.
Yeah.
Because like having read the Georgian Chronicle, having read the Russian Chronicle, they both have like some sort of like story that relates them, like how did this place get its name, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like the Georgian, you have a guy named Kartlos who's related to somebody in Noah's family who went there. So there's always somebody related to Noah who goes to Ireland. So I'm guessing Cessaire, isn't going to be who Ireland is named after.
No, she is not. There is a lot of speculation and strong speculation among the academic circles that Cessaire was a sovereignty goddess, a land goddess, a fertility goddess, early goddess of Ireland. And she became this figure instead when it was becoming taken down.
Okay.
So, which I can see it.
Okay. I have two words for you, Michael.
Yeah.
Royal power.
I already said how long she reigned, but you wanna take a guess? It was a biblical amount.
40 days?
And 40 nights. You're correct.
Okay.
We don't have anything on power dynamics other than the clearly across the board that Cessaire is the main historical figure of this failed expedition. Bith is not, Ladra is not, Fintan is not, even though Fintan survives and he's the one who tells the story later. It is Cessaire who is the leader of this, which is a very fascinating thing.
Women does wrong, women gets in trouble.
Yeah, that's basically a lot of what it is woman did, she defied, you know, God and paid for it type deal.
Mm-hmm. I have a score.
Yep.
Do you have a score?
I might. Yeah.
Mine's a 0.
Yeah. I'm going to give her a 1 because she's the clear leader on this expedition.
Yeah, but that's the base standard of how we rate them, Michael. It's like saying,
That's true.
We're gonna rate Bith because you know.
Yeah, we don't know enough. You're right. 0.
Thank you. That's a 0 for royal power. Infamy.
According to the scribe, she's a filthy pagan.
0.
Yeah, 0.
0 for infamy. Oath of devotion.
She chose to stay pagan despite a clear threat to her life by an angry, jealous god that needed to calm the fuck down. And I'm not talking about Hera. I couldn't resist.
If you see my reaction to Michael right now. I mean, agreed, but still. Old Testament God was very different from New Testament God.
How dare you speak facts?
That is literally the face. But well, to be fair, it's like when you have a kid where your personality changes. Because as soon as God has Jesus Christ, he becomes a much nicer person.
I honestly think they're two different gods, to be honest.
No, I think one's just before and after having a kid.
Wouldn't he be more stressed out? I can speak from experience. You're a little happier, but you're also more stressed out, and you also don't care about what other people think after that. Maybe that's it. He no longer is like really cares about what other people think, and the jealousy kind of goes away.
Well, because he can also have Mary deal with it.
Which one?
The Theotokos. Okay, so other devotion. Give me the score. Other than, I'm thinking like a 1.
I'm gonna give her a 5. She literally died for her faith. 10.
You're giving her a 10?
She died for her faith. Did she not?
She did.
Yeah.
I'm giving her a 1.
I'm giving her a 10.
That's an 11 for Oath of Devotion. Bardic Inspiration.
Unfortunately, her tale is really not inspiring to me. It seems like some half-assed tale by scribes in an attempt to create a genealogical trail back to Noah because they had to. The best part of the story to me was Ladra's death, and that's not Cesare.
And then, but Fintan, man, Fintan, you got a druid. Yeah, zero.
Zero.
Legacy.
The real goddess Cesare represented is quite dead. The medieval scribes did a really good job at that. She doesn't have a legacy. They took this goddess and destroyed her.
Zero.
Yeah, zero.
Alrighty, with a zero in royal power, a zero in infamy, and 11 in oath of devotion, thanks to Michael, a zero in bardic inspiration, a zero in legacy. How many points do you think she has, Michael?
I'm going to take a big guess and go 11.
That is correct, which ties her for 17th place.
With who?
Godomar the second from our Burgundians.
Oh, that brings me so much joy.
Oh, wait. And also ties her with Gebica, Gundomar, Gisohr, and Gunter.
Hey, that is actually very poetic because they too were the beginners. So like... that's actually pretty awesome. I now am very glad I chose 10.
So, okay, you could have kept it. She could have been our lowest scorer, Michael.
No, I like this, that she matched that on an accident because of my chaos. She literally, no, that's perfect. Mm-mm, I'm all for that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, in the annals of history, is she good enough to be placed in the Hall of Legends, just good enough to be an NPC, or deserve to be burned at the stake, their existence ashes in the wind?
Lesser noble.
NPC. It's the new one. It's NPC.
Are we changing to NPC, Michael? No. It's just going to be lesser noble.
Lesser noble. I'm gonna say NPC every time, but sure, lesser noble.
You can't change this on me now. We finalized the rankings. I made the spreadsheet. It's not changing.
You can put previously.
No, it's just gonna be lesser noble. That's it.
I'm gonna keep saying NPC in the script, so that's fine.
That's fine. I don't care. But we're gonna say lesser noble as of the final ruling. It's lesser noble.
I thought you were going to want to burn her. I was just so surprised.
Why would I burn her? She didn't do anything worth burning for.
That's very true.
Like, that... yeah. The last person we burned at the stake was Lugaid Luwain. So like.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot we did that with him. Not yeah. Lugaid.
Was yeah, it Lugaid? Yeah, Lugaid Luwain.
Oh, Labraid was the good guy. That's right. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. They all have the same name. Come on.
That brings us to the end of the very short premiere episode of season 6. Did you know about Cesare before this podcast?
No! Nobody does, Michael!
There might be a reason for that. You can reach us on Facebook and Instagram at Quest for Power, or email us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. We are also on Roberto's Seat of Power. Something about a sky being blue sky. Do you know what our handle is there?
Yes, I do know our handle, Michael.
And what is that?
The handle is thequestforpower.bsky.social.
This podcast is researched and scripted by me, Michael, and edited by the lovely Roberto. It takes a lot of resources to research and produce these episodes. This episode may not have shown it, but it was a lot to go through. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a member of our exclusive royal court at thequestforpower.com to come chat with us on Discord and gain exclusive access to extra episodes. Special thank you to Nick for being our awesome member and our coolest member.
Thank you, Nick. You could join Nick in the Annals of History by joining us on Fourth Wall and getting access to exclusive extra content, such as our Egyptian rulers episodes and, coming up soon, our Game of Thrones episodes. Because you can join us for the quest for Ice and Fire, where we're talking immediately about the Dornish rulers and the rise of the Martells.
It's an exciting story.
It's a great story. And say her name, Elia Martel.
If that's not your thing, that's cool. Give us a 5-star review on any podcatcher of your choice. It goes a long way. Also telling someone about this podcast. That is a huge help. Next episode. Oh, continue.
Yes. And if you have thoughts that are less than a 5-star review, just send it to our email. That's fine.
We'll
take constructive criticism, but help us out. keep us with a 5-star, and then anything else below that, just let us know in an email. We'll respond to you. We'll change things as needed. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Please tell me that if you don't like something. That works better for me.
You don't like, then be quiet.
Yeah, no, I love Roberto. He's not going away. Next episode, we continue the cycle with the second invasion of Ireland led by Partholón. And finally with that, the queen is dead.
Long live the king. Long live the king! The candlelight caught the tears streaming down her face as she clutched her grandfather's weathered hands. Please, she whispered. Oh, man. Please, she whispered. How was that?
That was awesome. Love the fire and brimstone. That's exactly what I was going for.
I brought up my Southern Anabaptist preacher.
I was thinking you're like the full DM is starting to come out.
Yeah.
I definitely wrote these with that in mind. I'm like, he's a DM. He can do this.
I can do it. Somehow I know it. I'll get heaven behind my plan.
Anyway. Let's see which one has more. Anyway.
Your mom has more. I'm cutting that out.
I think she might listen to this.
Yeah. So I'm going to cut it out. Sorry, Miss Lau.